Okay, so we're diving deep into Camp Courageous.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, Camp Courageous and how it went from like this tiny seed of an idea to this amazing place for people with special needs.
Right.
We're talking blueprints, old stories, like you name it, we've got it.
Wow.
Even some old recordings. So
Awesome.
get ready to uncover some Camp Courageous magic.
I am so ready.
All right, so picture this. Someone donates 40 acres of land back in 1972 just out of the goodness of their heart. And
Wow.
that one act, that's all it took to get the ball rolling for Camp Courageous.
Yeah, and you know what's amazing is how that one act sparked this incredible community effort.
It's true.
It wasn't just about the land. People were showing up, offering their skills, their time, even donating materials to build the place.
I know, it's incredible, right? Like they weren't just writing checks, they were rolling up their sleeves and building Camp Courageous with their own two hands.
Exactly. And that's the beauty of it, right?
Yeah.
A shared vision bringing everyone together. And just 2 years later, they opened their doors to campers. 211 campers, to be exact, in that very first summer.
Can you
Think
imagine?
about the impact 211 individuals getting to experience the magic of camp, all tailored to their needs.
That's amazing. And even from the get-go, they were already innovating, coming up with creative ways to make the experience even better.
Oh, absolutely.
Like they had this Braille trail. Can you believe that?
It's incredible.
And then there's this thing called the Dangle Do,
Okay, the Dangle Do.
which I am dying to hear more about.
Okay, so the Dangle Do, imagine this, it's the 1990s, and Camp Courageous is like, hold my juice box, we're about to take things to the next level.
Okay, I'm listening.
They created this high element adventure course, ropes, zip lines, the works. But here's the thing, it was all adapted for individuals with special needs.
Whoa, that's next level for sure.
Right, talk about pushing boundaries.
They were always thinking ahead, always trying to find new ways to challenge and engage the campers. But it wasn't always easy, right? I mean, they faced their share of setbacks too. Like in 1991, they lost two incredible people, Wilfred Shelley, Schellenberger, and Dr. Lyman Perkins.
Yeah, that was a tough year for Camp Courageous.
Yeah, both of them were instrumental in those early days. Shelley was like this quiet powerhouse, always there to lend a hand. And Dr. Perkins, he just poured his heart into camp
He
activities.
did, and he kept meticulous records of everything.
Really?
Oh, yeah, he was like the camp historian.
Wow.
So losing both of them was a huge blow, but in a way, it seemed to make the community even stronger.
Right. It's like their legacy fueled this incredible outpouring of support. Like that same year, the Ray Haggerty family, they stepped up to build a cement path to the archery range,
Oh, wow.
and they worked tirelessly through all kinds of weather to get it done.
It's dedication.
It really is. And then there's Cletus Gubkin, this amazing volunteer who won the J.C. Penney Award in 91 for his
Oh,
service.
I know Cletus's story. He was later inducted into the Iowa Volunteer Hall of Fame.
Wow, he sounds like a true hero.
He was.
It's like Camp Courageous wasn't just about serving the campers, it was inspiring everyone involved to go above and beyond.
Absolutely. It was contagious, that's for sure.
Yeah, and that spirit really shone through in 1992 when they found out their beloved old lodge had to be torn down.
Oh man, the old
I
lodge.
know, can you imagine? That lodge was like the heart of camp, filled with years of memories.
So many
And to
memories.
have to say goodbye to it like that.
It would have been easy to just give up,
Yeah.
you know? But that's not the Camp Courageous way.
No way.
Instead, they rallied, they organized fundraisers, and they built a brand new lodge, bigger and better than ever before.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Over 2,100 people showed up for the open house.
Can you believe that? It was standing room only.
That gives me chills just thinking about it. Speaking of fundraising, these folks were pros.
Oh, yeah, they were.
Tell me about the Manchester garage sale in '92.
Okay, so the Manchester garage sale, it became their biggest fundraiser that year.
Really?
It was huge, and it just goes to show you how much people believed in what Camp Courageous was all about.
They knew how to rally the community, that's for sure.
They did.
And they were pretty creative with their fundraising, too. I mean, who could forget the Menster Farm Raffle in '94?
Oh, the Menster Farm Raffle. That was a nail biter.
Right. Talk about a cliffhanger.
We'll get to that, I promise. But first, let's go back to the new lodge and how it sparked this wave of growth and expansion for Camp Courageous.
Okay, lead the way. So they've got this amazing new lodge, but like, they're not done yet.
Oh, no, not even close.
They're already thinking what's next.
Right. That's Camp Courageous for you, always thinking ahead, and
Yeah.
their energy was infectious.
Totally. It's like they had this magnetic pull that drew in people who wanted to be a part of something truly special.
Exactly, and that's where the Robert South family comes in.
Oh, yeah, the South Cabin.
Their generous donation in 93 really got the ball rolling for that project.
So the South Cabin was a pretty big deal then.
Oh, absolutely. It wasn't just about having more space, though. It could sleep 40 campers, which was huge.
Right.
It was about creating a better experience for everyone. The South Cabin had a basement, air conditioning, things that we might take for granted, but made a world of difference for some of the campers.
That's so thoughtful, thinking of all the little things that could make a big impact.
That's Camp Courageous in a nutshell, always anticipating needs before they even come up.
And it wasn't just the South Cabin, right? They were also giving the medical facilities a makeover around the same time.
You got it. While the South Cabin was being built, they were busy remodeling and expanding the infirmary.
Smart.
Yeah.
Because having top-notch medical facilities on site is crucial for a place like Camp Courageous.
Absolutely essential.
Yeah.
They want to make sure every camper felt safe and supported.
Always thinking a few steps ahead. Okay, so we've got the new lodge, the South Cabin, the upgraded infirmary. What's next on their to-do list?
Well, in 1994, they get another incredible opportunity. The Bill and Kay Pitlick family donates 30 acres of land just south of the camp.
Whoa, talk about a land grab.
Right. But it gets even better. The deal also included first right of refusal for the remaining 240 acres of the Hankins farm.
Wow, they were playing the long game, securing the future of Camp Courageous.
Exactly. They were thinking generations ahead.
That's incredible. But wait, there's more, right? Because that same year, John and Maxine Menster donate an entire farm to the camp.
You're on a roll. That's right. 1994 was a big year for Camp Courageous.
That's an insane act of generosity.
It is, and it leads to one of the most legendary fundraising events in Camp Courageous' history, the Menster Farm Raffle.
Okay, spill the tea. I've been waiting for this one. December 1994, thousands of raffle tickets, phones ringing off the hook. This sounds like something out of a movie.
It was absolute madness. People were driving from all over, just hoping to get their hands on a ticket.
How much were the tickets?
$100 a pop.
$100, and they still sold out.
Nearly 9,000 tickets.
No way. They raised almost $1 million from that raffle alone.
He did it. Can you believe it?
That's insane. But it wasn't just about the money, was it?
No, it was about something much bigger.
It was about a community coming together to support a cause they believed in.
Exactly. And it paved the way for the Menster Cabin, a place where campers and staff could connect on a deeper level.
I love that. So they're building new cabins, expanding their land, they're raking in the donations. What else is going on at Camp Courageous in the 90s?
Well, they're also making some major changes to their staffing model.
Really? Like what?
In 1994, they decide to hire 15 counselors year-round.
Wow, that's a big shift. What prompted that decision?
It was about creating more stability for the campers and ensuring a higher quality of care.
Makes sense. Having familiar faces around year after year must be so comforting for the campers.
Absolutely. It's all about building those relationships.
But you know what I love about Camp Courageous? It's not just about the big picture stuff.
Yeah.
It's the little personal touches that really make it special.
Oh, I totally agree.
Like Leigh Clark's famous fruitcake.
Oh, Lacey, she was a legend.
Right. She wasn't just a board member for 15 years. She was the heart and soul of Camp Courageous.
She was always baking, gardening, planting flowers. She poured her heart into that place.
It's those personal stories that really stick with you.
They do.
Like the gazebo dedicated to Ed Kistenmacher, who served as managing director of PMI for over 30 years.
Wow, 31 years. That's incredible.
Right. These little details, these glimpses into the lives of the people who made Camp Courageous what it is, that's where the real magic is.
It's what makes Camp Courageous so much more than just a camp.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a living, breathing tapestry of experiences and memories. But amidst all these triumphs, there were also moments of profound loss.
Sadly, yes. Camp Courageous had to say goodbye to some very special people during the 90s.
Like Gus Norlin in 95, Mike Collins in 96, Dottie Cummings in 97.
And in 1998, they lost both Cleet Gudkin and Leigh Clark.
That's heartbreaking. It's a reminder that even as Camp Courageous was experiencing this incredible growth, there were still ups and downs along the way.
It really is true, and it's a testament to their strength, you know?
Absolutely.
Instead of letting grief paralyze them, they channeled it into making Camp Courageous even better.
It's like they were determined to honor those legacies by continuing to grow and evolve.
Exactly. And that's exactly what they did. Like in 1995, they achieved a 100% rating on their American Camp Association accreditation.
Wow, that's huge. Especially with everything else going on. What does that even entail?
It's a really big deal.
Yeah.
It means they were scrutinized on everything from their safety protocols to the quality of their programs, and they passed with flying colors.
That's impressive. They really were committed to being the best of the best.
No doubt about it. And they weren't afraid to try new things either.
Like what?
Well, in 1996, they launched a brand new travel program for the campers.
Get out! a travel program. Where did they go?
They went all out, Disney World, a cruise, you name it.
No way. That's incredible. Imagine the excitement for those campers.
I know, right? It was all about creating these unforgettable experiences, expanding their world beyond the campgrounds.
I love that. Okay, but we have to talk about the Snozzle Room.
Yes, the Snozzle Room.
It sounds like something out of a sci-fi movie.
It kind of is.
Okay.
Imagine a room specifically designed for individuals with severe disabilities.
Okay.
A sensory haven filled with all these amazing things like glowing ball pits, a sight and sound wall bubble columns, even a musical waterbed.
Wow, that's next level sensory overload in the best way possible.
Right. They thought of everything.
The amount of care that went into creating that space is just mind-blowing. But all these incredible innovations had to be expensive. What were they doing to keep up with the fundraising?
Well, they already had the Manchester Garage Sale and the Minster Farm Raffle under their belts.
Right.
But by the late 90s, all eyes were on a new prize, a brand new indoor pool.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a big ticket item. How did they pull that off?
Well, it started with another incredible act of generosity. John and Bev Vermaisen donated $375,000 towards the project.
Seriously?
Yep. And then the Carver Trust matched their donation dollar for dollar.
Get out of here. That's $750,000 right there.
You do the math. So with that kind of momentum, they launched the pool will be built one block at a time campaign.
I remember that. They were selling those symbolic blocks for $1,000 a pop.
That's right. They wanted everyone to feel like they could be a part of making this dream a reality.
Such a great strategy. So did it work?
Oh, it worked.
Yeah.
They celebrated their 25th anniversary in 1999 with the grand opening of their state-of-the-art indoor pool.
I love a happy ending.
Me too. And it just goes to show you what can be accomplished when people come together with a shared goal.
Absolutely. And Camp Courageous is still going strong today. They're now serving something like 10,000 individuals every year.
Can you believe that? From those humble beginnings with just 211 campers to 10,000, it's incredible.
Mind-blowing. What an amazing legacy. What started as this tiny seed of an idea has blossomed into this life-changing force for good.
It really has. And none of it would have been possible without the countless individuals who've dedicated their time, their energy, and their hearts to Camp Courageous.
To all the volunteers, the staff, the donors, the campers themselves, thank you for reminding us what's truly important in life.
Here.
Well, folks, that's a wrap on our deep dive into the history of Camp Courageous. We've only scratched the surface, so if this story resonated with you, we encourage you to keep digging. Visit their website, learn more about their incredible journey, and maybe even plan a visit for yourself.
And who knows, you might just find yourself inspired to start your own Camp Courageous story.
That's all for today, but we'll be back soon with another deep dive into a topic that matters. Until then, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep the spirit of Camp Courageous alive in your own unique way.